Translation with a purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. After worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, those who are interested in the four principles of religion, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation, obtain from Him what they desire. What then is to be said of other benedictions? Indeed, sometimes the Lord gives a spiritual body to such ambitious worshippers. May that Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is unlimited merciful, bestow upon me the benediction of liberation from this present danger and from the materialistic way of life. We're not going to repeat it, it's too long, so we'll go straight to the purport. Purport. Some men within this material world are akami, free from material desire. Some are ambitious to get more and more material profit, and some desire fulfillment in religious life, economic development, sense gratification, and finally, liberation. What's the verse, famous verse? Prabhupada is quoting, yeah? I just gave the translation. Akama sarva kamova moksha kshama udaradi. Yejata purusham param. Where is this verse from? No? This is one of the very first verse that you learn for Bhakti Shastri. One of the principal verse. So what books you get this verse from? Give another, you got three chances. We already exhausted one. You already said a nectar of devotion. Oh, nectar of instruction, no. Sorry? I studied it myself. Oh, probably it's too difficult, isn't it, nowadays for devotees. It's very, very famous. Prabhupada quotes all the time. It's from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 3, Text 10. Please read it because it's a verse that applies to everybody and encourages you. It means, you know, either you are with material desires or non-material desires, or if you want liberation, if you want sense gratification, wherever you want, just worship, carry on worshiping Krishna. He doesn't mind that. He doesn't say, approach me if you have desire for bhakti. He says, akama, sarva kama. Akama means without desire. Sarva kama means, like sarva bhutanam, means many, many material desires. So either you have them or you don't have them. If you want moksha, then do the trivrena bhakti yoga. It's very encouraging, isn't it? It is recommended that whatever one's position, whether one demands non-material profit, all material profit, or ultimately liberation, one should offer his obedient devotional service to the Lord. And one will get what he desires. See, Krishna, Prabhupada, confirming that you shall absolutely, even if you, any of these three things, you will get your desire fulfilled. So therefore, there is no loss. Prabhupada says, Krishna is so kind. So whatever we desire, he will give it to us. He will fulfill it. Yeyata mam prabhadyante tamstatava bhajamyaham. The Lord reciprocates, Prabhupada says, yeah? Whatever even an ordinary living entity wants, Krishna gives. Krishna is situated in everyone's heart, and he gives that which is desired by the living entity. Just like a father, he works very hard to fulfill the desires of the wife, the children. The world goes around because of all the fulfilling desires, either our own desires or the desires of the family, the desires of friends, that you organize parties and you give some pleasure to your friends to fulfill their desire, the desires of the society, you fulfill the desire of the government by paying tax. The government desire very much your money, so you pay tax, so you fulfill their desire. You fulfill the desire of so many institutions, hospitals, and everybody has their desire fulfilled. So why Krishna cannot fulfill the desires of his children? Aham bija pradapita. He's the supreme father of all the living entities, and therefore he fulfills any desires that bubbles up in our heart. Then Prabhupada goes on here. Ishvara sarva bhutanam riddesher junatishtati brahma yan sarva bhutani yantra rudani mayaya. The supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities, who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. This is Bhagavad Gita, 1861. The Lord gives everyone an opportunity to fulfill his ambitions. Even such a devotee as Dhruva Maharaj wanted the material benediction of a kingdom greater than that of his father. And although he received a spiritual body, he also got the kingdom. For the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not disappoint anyone who takes shelter of his lotus feet. We know the story that even though Dhruva Maharaj wanted some material fulfillment bestowed upon him by the Supreme Lord, Krishna gave him both because he practiced devotional service, Trivrena Bhakti Yogena. Krishna gave him the material desires fulfilled, and also on top of it, the freedom from the material body. He achieved the spiritual rupa. And Krishna also gave him a material planet, Dhruvaloka. So much you gain by worshipping Krishna. Another example, who was another example? Bali Maharaj, for example. Bali Maharaj, he also, fulfilled the desire of the Lord by giving two steps of land, and the third step was given his own head, because the Lord took everything with two steps, all the 14 planetary systems, and then he took his head also, which meant that his body and his individuality also was sold out to Krishna. He gave himself to Vamanadev. And what happened at the end? Because he did this little service, the Lord gave him the position in the Sutala planet. He gave him a beautiful planet, a position of a king on that planet. And he was not just governing the terrestrial people like on this planet, but they were celestial people. So just like Indra, the king of the demigods, he's reigning on the supremacy of the demigods, all the demigods, celestial living entities, Gandharvas. So that's very high position. The position of Indra is second to Lord Brahma. So not only the Lord gave Vamanadev the planet and made him a king, what else happened? Does anybody know what happened? What did the Lord do to reciprocate? Yeah, to Bali Maharaj. Gave him the planet, he made him a king. And then what happened? That goes, you know, without saying enjoyment. But did something the Lord he did. Yes. What is it? He became the gatekeeper of Bali Maharaj. Not only that, when you perform service to the Lord is, he becomes a sold out to his devotee. You know, it doesn't just fulfill your material desire, but also bhakti vatsala. He becomes your servant. Bhakti Vatsala means the servant of his devotee. You can try to fathom, you know, try to imagine the Supreme Personality of Godhead becoming your servant. Of course, that's something that we don't like to imagine. We don't desire that. But moved by the devotion of the devotee, that's what the Lord does. But the real devotion. And it doesn't matter, the real devotion, it doesn't come when you don't have any material desire. You can be full of material desires, you can be a very sinful person, and you can have the real devotion for the Lord. On the other hand, you can be deprived of all the material desires, right? You can be very advanced, so-called spiritually, but you don't have any devotion for the Lord, like the impersonalist or the Mayavadi. They're very advanced. They're actually more advanced than us spiritually, in the sense, you know, they practice so many years of austerity and renunciation. But because they don't have this connotation with the Lord of devotional service, so therefore there is no bhakti. But, so therefore the point is this, is to be deprived from material desires the disqualification for you to achieve the mercy of the Lord? No. You can be full of material desire, like Prabhupada says, yeah, and achieve the mercy of the Lord, and the Lord also becomes your servant. So we read the last paragraph of the purport. Even such a devotee as Dhruva Maharaj wondered at the material benedictions of a kingdom greater than that of his father. And although he received a spiritual body, he also got the kingdom. For the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not disappoint anyone who takes shelter of his lotus feet. Therefore, since Gajendra, king of the elephants, had surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead to get free from the present danger and indirectly from the present danger of materialistic life, why should the Supreme Personality of Godhead not fulfill his desire? So the point that Srila Prabhupada is highlighting in this episode is that don't worry if you have the consciousness full of material desires. Don't worry if you are a failure. Don't worry if you can't get up early in the morning. Don't worry if you don't have the strength of controlling your senses. But if you try to do a little bit of service to the Lord, then Krishna becomes very, very pleased. And he fulfills the any desires that is hidden in the core of our heart. Because it's embarrassing. We don't usually like to people to know what are our desires. We have very different desires, all of us. Some they have desires which are very difficult to attain, forbidden desires. Some try to achieve the impossible. People, they like to become famous. They like to become beautiful. They like to become wealthy. They like to become powerful. Usually the material desires that we have, they're all associated with the six opulence of Krishna. And Krishna still loves you. But what to speak of those who overlook their desires and they just perform their service without giving a concern to fulfill their desire. Just like the devotees who join Krishna consciousness. They try to unwind from the material desires because Punya Chravana Chravananam, they've chewed it, they've tasted it, they've eaten it. Maya has got them by the throat, makes them spitting out what they eat. Then Maya makes them licking up what they vomit, and then you chew it again, and then you spit it out again, and then... So this is material life. We eat and spit and lick up again, you know, what we have chewed many, 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 many times. So when a desire comes to our mind, we should not become overwhelmed and say, oh, that's wonderful, something new. It is not new. It appears to be new. Just like when you scratch, you say you have got a itch. You scratch yourself and you feel some relief. So then the itch comes again and say, oh, I will scratch again and I will feel again the same happiness. And then again the itching comes. You see, the material desires, they are like that. You think that the satisfaction by scratching is always new variety of relief. But actually it's just like chewing the truth. You know, whatever you have desired is being desired for millions of lives. Everybody has the same desires like you, but they don't tell you. So therefore, it's something very classified. Things that we got in our heart. Not everybody wants just service to the Supreme Lord. But some devotee, nishkam devotees, you know, there are those who are without desires for sense gratification. Or they do have a desire, but they don't do anything about it to have them fulfilled. There are a lot of devotees, those are actually very advanced devotees. The most advanced devotees that you find in the movement are those who have material desires and they don't do anything about it. They don't say, Krishna, fulfill them. They are not those who don't have a desire, because you will never find anyone who has no material desires. But these are words of Srila Prabhupada. Anybody who has appeared in this world with a material body, it means that person is guilty of material desire. Someone who doesn't have a material desire, you wouldn't see him. You wouldn't see them around here. They're there in the spiritual world. Their desires, the material desires, they've already been dovetailed into the fulfilling the desires of Krishna. They have intelligently understood that by Rishikesh Rishikenam Sevanam Bhakti Ruchate, if the seva is done to fulfill the senses of Krishna, the master of the senses, Rishikesh Rishikenam, the natural tendency of the soul is to engage their senses into satisfy the sense of Krishna. This is the secret of sense gratification. If you do that, then you enjoy. But we think that by giving something out, some service out, or some satisfaction out to someone or to Krishna or whoever, we lose out. But actually there is no loss. But the trap is that when we try to fulfill our own desire, what happened? That Krishna says in the Gita, Dusparena Nalena Cha. That means that you are pouring fuel. You're pouring fuel on the fire of your desire. What happens if you have fire and you try to extinguish the fire with the petrol? It will increase, isn't it? The fire becomes uncontrollable. So similarly, the desire sometimes is very small and we try to satisfy it. The catch is there, you know, it will increase. By trying to satisfy our desire, it becomes bigger and bigger. Just like the scratching that we have mentioned before. You have a very small itch in the beginning, but you scratch and scratch and scratch, and the itch doesn't go. And then you scratch again, it doesn't go. And then until, you know, after a few days, you have to go to the doctor. You got a rash, infection. You got, you know. So you could see that it only brings bad news by scratching, try to fulfill the desires by sense gratification, or to scratch on the itch. So, but what to do then? The itch is there, we tolerate it. There's a very interesting story. Maharaj Yudhisthira, he also had a material desire. Then he's one of the Pandavas, one of the liberated soul. The Mahabharata is described that the mother of Maharaj Yudhisthira, Kunti, she had a boon from Durvasa Muni to be eternally youthful, beautiful, to never surpass the age of a 16-year-old girl. Can you imagine? Maharaj Yudhisthira, a grown-up man with all the rest of the Pandavas, they were like 25 or 30, they were older. They were grown-up men. But the mother of those Pandavas looked like their own daughter. 16-year-old girl. So what happened then? That Maharaj Yudhisthira became attracted internally. He desired. He desired. He was lusting actually over his mother. Here you have the principle of religion. The religion personified, Dharmaraj, Maharaj Yudhisthira, that he was actually attracted to his own mother. So he went to Krishna and revealed his mind to Krishna and said, I have a problem. In confidence, he revealed his mind. Not like we do here. You go to someone and then they tell the whole community. As soon as you have a little, you do a little something or you desire a little something, it's very hard to trust anybody. But of course there are, doesn't mean devotees, they're not trust. You have to go to the right people. the right person. Anyway, Maharaj Yudhisthira went to Krishna and he said, you know, he didn't even confide it to his own brothers. He knew Krishna is God, is in my heart. He's the best person I can try, because people, they will come to know that a king, an emperor, a chakravarti, you know, one who has conquered the world, all the four directions, is attracted to his own mother. It's a sacrilege. People, they get disgusted. What kind of king we have? So therefore, he revealed his mind to Krishna. And he said, you know, I'm desiring my mother. I'm attracted to her. What's happening to me? She's so beautiful. What did Krishna say? Does anybody know what Krishna said? Imagine you have a problem like that and you go to God. What answer you expect from God? Yes. Keep chanting, it will go away. Chanting what? I don't know if Maharaj Yudhisthira was chanting his runs in those days, but anybody wants fathom on the speculate on what the Lord says? So that's what you think that Krishna said. Yes, well. That's the answer. You want to speak or should I repeat it? That's the answer. Krishna, he didn't make any comment. There is no comment you can make on this. Whatever desires we have is our own prerogative. I mean, there is, Krishna said, you know, that he made his own explanation, he made a small comment, but he said at the end of the day, the desire we have in the heart is a very, very personal thing, and it cannot be legislated by anybody, not even by God. God, he cannot change your desire. You have to be the one to dovetail it, to change it, to engage it. But anyway, Krishna said, ask the question to him. Krishna asked the question to Maharaj Yudhisthira. So what are you going to do about it? And that was a good question. So Maharaj Yudhisthira said, does anybody know what Maharaj Yudhisthira said? She said, well, let's see if you... Yeah. Maharaj Yudhisthira said, nothing. I'm going to do nothing. Krishna said, yes, that's the solution. Now, what does that mean? You do have material desire in your heart, so do nothing about it. It's not a sin. It's not prarabdha karma means that the flowing of material, they will come, even if you chant 64 rounds today, 150 rounds today, you don't sleep all night, still you will get material desire tomorrow. I guarantee you. Now, you still get them tomorrow because prarabdha karma. Like, you know, I give you an example. If you want to move a house, how much furniture, you want to go to America, how much furniture, how much stuff can you take with you? They will only allow you, how much, 30 kilo, 35 kilo? 30 kg. Yeah. 23 kg. Can you? I mean, just your table probably weighs that much. So what you do, you employ an agency. Every month, you know, send me a little something. Right? So every month something's coming to you. So you bring something with you, but then every month you're getting a little something, something, and then something. The karma works like that. You die now. How much can you take with you in your next life? Only what the body can pay off. We got millions and billions of lives that we've been in this world that we have to pay. That's why we are in debt to other living entities, to Maya, to the nature. All the things we've been stealing, we've been using, will be infringing all the things we've been desiring. And so we have to pay a price for that. And the price is the karma comes to us. So once we chant our runs, maybe you can destroy, counteract the karma one life or even two lives. But then some more karma is coming. That's called prarabdha karma. The remaining furniture that you couldn't take with you. And it's coming to you, new karma. And you carry on chanting, like you say, that's a good answer, to counteract it. Prabhupada says the cooked seed of devotional service will never produce any grains. If you put a cooked seed in the ground, will never produce any plant because it's cooked. So devotional service and chanting is like a cooked seed. It will never produce any karma, but it will counteract it. Now the question is, we're coming to that now, how do you counteract the karma? You do nothing about it. Material desires, they come. Everybody has material. Anybody who doesn't have any desires or material desire in the heart, please raise your hand. Right. So, if someone tells you that they don't have any material desire, be careful, they're trying to sell you something. They're cheaters. I'm sorry? Sorry, I didn't catch it. Few devotees. Pure devotee, not few. Okay. Pure devotees. Prabhupada said many, many times, also they have a material desire, but they don't do anything about it. Without material desire, like you have a pure devotees coming into this world, even acharyas, if you don't have a desire, then you cannot procreate the children. You cannot eat, you cannot do anything, eat, sleep, defend. So all these things we do them, but you know, in service of Krishna. But this is not a sin to have material desires. Deivyesh gunamayi mama maya duratyaya. This material energy is divine. To have a material desires is a natural thing. It's a thing that we have acquired it, and they gravitate around the soul. You cannot have a soul without desire. There are so many quotes, Prabhupada mentions that you will never find a desireless soul in this world. Because otherwise, what is he here for? If he didn't have any material desire, why? How come he's got a material body? How come he's... Of course, I understand your point that the pure devotee, they come purely with a spiritual desire, nitya siddhi. But still, they have very little to do with the material energy. Still, they do come with a desire. The thing is, what you do with your desire, if you engage in them or not. Prabhupada says, you know, you could be in a room full of snakes, but if you, you know how to deal with them, they won't bite you. So you can be in your heart full of snakes and material desires. If you know how to deal with them, they won't bite you. There is a relationship in anything with what's going on in our heart. So Maharaj Yudhisthira didn't do anything about it. The desire was there. That's a perfect example. He's more than a pure devotee, right? But still, he was attracted to his mind. He was attracted to the material energy. Who is not attracted to the material energy? Everybody, even the pure devotees, they are. But they don't do anything about it. Like one time in the car, in the conversation I was reading from Maharishi Prabhu, that Prabhupada liked very much some of the adverts exposed on the street, you know, this... And the devotee asked, Prabhupada, we're surrounded so much from so much advertisement. You heard about that, yeah, probably. And Prabhupada, and they said, you know, what can we do? Prabhupada said, don't do anything about it. They're there. They're beautiful. You appreciate. Just like the sun, the moon, the earth, the trees, everything is beautiful. But you don't try to enjoy them, because his main, the material energy is meant to be enjoyed by Krishna. So we have a relationship with the material body, with the things surrounding us, but it's a very, very fine line. You desire to eat, but you eat, you know, not too much, not too little, the proper things. You desire to have sensual intercourse, then you don't do excessively, you do for procreation. So you do fulfill, you know, within boundary, all your desires. You desire some money, but to maintain, you know, your family, to have some shelter, to have some clothes, to have some reputation, some decent integrity, being protected. So there is no harm, and there is no need to feel ashamed when we are flooded with so many material desires. That's when the devotees, they get very much discouraged. I cannot make it because my heart is full of dirt. Actually, you know what? Spiritual advancement, it started from me also, like maybe probably 1 or 2 years ago. And I've been trying to practice for over 30 years. But 1 or 2 years ago, I got up one morning and I realized, you know, how sinful I am and how many material desires I have in my heart. And I was, then afterwards I said, actually I'm grateful to Krishna to make me realize who I am. Because a neophyte person, he thinks of how pure I am. As soon as when we join Krishna consciousness, after a few Mangal Aarti, after chanting a little bit, you know, you start to get a little some red cheek. Oh, I'm getting purified, you know, Harinam, dancing a little bit. I'm a pure devotee. And that's when you are actually on the motorcycle of Maya. He's taking you for a ride. We think, you know, that we have overcome all the desires. But then you will see all of a sudden they come and you're not even aware of it. And you try to fulfill them and you're not even aware of it. So, well, when we become aware of what is going on in our heart, that's when spiritual advancement starts. So spiritual advancement starts when we ask this question, my God, how fallen am I? But what to do? Then you put your hand up like Gajendra and pray to the Lord. Please help me. Take me through all these desires and engage me somehow or another in some service. So the point of this class is that don't be discouraged. You may find more desire in your heart than you had the day before or last year, even though you're practicing more spiritual life, so it should be less desire. But the main secret, the main key is that you, Krishna gives you the strength to control them. That's spiritual advancement, when you become strong in controlling your desire. Isn't it? And if you can't do it, then Rishikesha Rishikenam Sevanam Bhakti Ruch. Krishna control your senses. He takes charge. Like Draupadi, how much she could hold on to the sari. She couldn't do it anymore. Then Krishna took over. He gave so much sari. So similarly, Krishna will, even if you do have a material desire, he said himself in the Gita, I will provide what you desire. I will carry what you, what did he say? I will carry what you lack. And preserve what you have. Whatever you have, I will protect it, that you won't lose it. He doesn't say give it up, isn't it? He says, I will protect it. Now, does that mean, you know, spiritual? It also means it's material things. Spiritual and material. And I will carry what you like, whatever you desire, I will provide it for you. At the end of the day, He's the one who has created this world for a purpose, to provide our needs. So we take it, but not as thieves. We use it. And thank the Lord, being grateful to Krishna. We use so many material things. We shouldn't be negating this material energy. Otherwise, we're not different as a Buddhist. Buddhist people, they use the material energy, but then they offend it. They negate it. No, but we use it within boundary with the blessings of Krishna. And in this way, we can peacefully advance in Krishna consciousness. Thank you very much. So we'll stop here. Is any questions?